I just got a haircut. It's still long, but
okay. What did they just trim the edges?
Yeah, they pulled my hair out as long as they could, and they just kind of like went, you know, along the edge.
How much hair did you get cut off?
I think probably
in inches,
like 6-7 inches off. And it's still
really
like past my shoulders. Yeah.
That's a lot though.
It is a lot, but I do have like that bounce up, you know, cause my hair is all wavy and shit. So when my hair was like wettened's a word, right? Yeah. When it was
wettered.
You're right. You know, when my hair was wettered,
hearing it back, I'm not sure I'm right.
It was like dang near my B crack. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Well, are you ready to talk about some shitty music on the internet that's for everyone?
Yeah, what he means by that is we're listening to Nate's band Fight for the Weekend.
Yeah, dude, everybody, welcome to Bad Bandmates. And recently we did an episode about Josh's band that he was in, Average Mammals. And we talked about their first album, and that was a lot of fun to kind of just go and just kind of judge each other's, or judge his work, I guess. But now he's judging my work, and honestly, I don't have as a cool of a story as going to LA with, you know, in a van with ramen and SpaghettiOs. Was that the story? That was the story.
I don't think we had. Oh no, you know what we had in the van? I don't think I told
What's
you
that?
This. My mom packed a cooler with a bunch of ice with like lunch meat, cheese, bread.
Uh huh.
And we just ate that until it spoiled.
Perfect.
But that's neither here nor there. We're talking about Fight for the Weekend today. Nate, do you want to? Well, I mean, I could do it too, but do you want to tell the kids where they can listen to the albums if they haven't done so yet?
Yeah. So I'm going to call them demos because that's ultimately
sure.
what they are. It's home recordings, basically, of my band that I was in. And if you've listened to like all of our episodes, we've had Hunter on before. He was in that band. Yeah, so if you could just go on Bandcamp and you type Fight for the Weekend, I mean, you'll find it. It's there. But there's a demo. There's two demos. Only one repeating song on one of the demos. And so you get about a solid, I'll say 5.5 tracks. Because there's an intro, so it's like whatever. On one of them. But yeah, so this is my stuff. And it's probably going to be a shorter episode, I guess. I don't really know what we'll exactly divulge on. But yeah, so Fight for the Weekend on Bandcamp. Go, I mean, you don't have to check it out. But that's what we're going to be talking about today. So
you really should go listen to it, though, because it's good.
Yeah, you know what? Okay.
Nate's not going to say that, but I'll say it for him.
No, you know what? I was thinking about this, and I was listening to the songs again for, like, the first time, and I probably since our last show, like, in, like, I don't know, February or something, like, before the pandemic. I don't even know, but I was listening to it, and, like, I was like, you know what, dude? I'm very self-deprecating on this podcast, of course. I mean, it's just what I do. But like, I was like, Man, fuck you if you don't think some of this is good. Like,
I actually agree with that. And, you know, when you brought this up to me, Nate, you said, I forget what you said, something about me ripping on how shitty the recordings are, something like that. But well, they're really not, though.
Yeah. No, they're not as bad as I remember. The first demo that we put out is definitely a lot lesser in quality, I guess, but only in certain aspects and not in others. It's kind of weird. It's like, we'll probably pick it apart a little bit, but I gotta pull up my track list here, but I don't know if you have any
Oh, I got some stuff. Let's just dive right in.
Okay.
Let's start with the demo album, demo, whatever you want to call it. Keep Dreaming from 2016. That's when you released it?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Let's start here.
Okay.
Who made the artwork?
I did.
Yeah, I know you did. I know you did. It's that 8-bit video game shit that's got Nate just dripping off of it. And I love it.
Yeah, so I was like, I don't know why, but there was like a summer or something where like I was really into doing like pixel art, like basically like the video game style of old, you know. I wasn't very good at it, but you're basically just putting in like paint one square at a time. So like I just like I made this dumb little 8-bit sort of boxing dude with his gloves hanging up, and he's got like blood on his face running down. And
he's,
it says like
sitting down on a bench, just being right, sad.
Sitting on a bench, and he's got a little black eye. Well, it's like a bloody eye, I guess. It didn't really make it black, but I, you know what I took inspiration from was a game called Punch-Out. Oh yeah, Punch-Out. I don't know if it's technically Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, but for like licensing issues and stuff like that. But like, it's called Punch-Out, and it was on the NES, and I think there was a follow-up on the SNES, and I think they did another one on Wii and stuff like that. But the original Punch-Out, because I think there's actually an image where you're a boxer and you fight all these weird arcade-y style guys that by today's standards there was a, you know, they had other countries represented and stuff like that, so not really up to the PC culture of today. So you know, look at it with caution, you know. But like I'm pretty sure there was like a Russian guy in there, and his name was gonna be Vodka Drunkinsky, but but they because it's a kid's game, they renamed him Soda Popinski. So
Soda Poppins.
Yeah, Soda Popinski. So it was all this like stereotype stuff, and it was really just, looking back, it's kind of funny, but it was, well, it's not funny, I guess. Whatever. I'm digging a hole. Anyways, but like, you played this character named Lil Mac, and if you get, you know, beat up to the point of you lose, you know, he's kind of like sitting there looking all defeated. Mm-hmm. And so I just like, I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. And I just drew something kind of off of that reference, but not, yeah, it's a little bit different, obviously, but anyways, that's where I took reference.
Well, I like it. I like the artwork a lot.
Thank you. Thank
just
you.
Just to clarify that.
Yeah. Let's, and Keep Dreaming was a song that we played regularly, but I don't think we ever recorded it. So,
Yeah, and I feel like you've told me that before, and I was going to ask you about that. I thought it was weird that this is called Keep Dreaming. However, that's not on here.
Yeah, I don't know if it was just like there was I think if I remember right, we were trying to record it or something, but like it just never kind of worked out.
Fleshed out.
Yeah. Sure. So, But yeah, I just kind of like put that out there. So I mean, for all intents and purposes, it's just a demo, and it happened to have artwork for a song that was called Keep Dreaming that we were probably gonna name this, but then it was just like didn't end up working. So I just left it at that.
Just rolled with it. Got it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Tell me before. I mean, we can go a little bit song by song if you'd like, because I have a few things. But what was the what'd you do for recording on it? Because it's obviously like recorded in a basement or something.
Yeah. For this one, it was actually just so Sam, our singer and main guitar player, he just kind of is one of those people, probably similar to Ryan, your singer and guitar player of Average Mammals, where he just has like a million instruments and sound equipment and recording stuff that he's just kind of gathered, you know, throughout the years. I don't know where the heck he got all this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of, it feels like it's just been acquired over a long period of time, and like he just had it. So we were just kind of recording on probably a laptop at the time, honestly, but like, I don't know. And it was just through, we had like plug outs that were like all mic'd up and stuff like that. The drums, I think, were really, because you can't really get a great sound from the setup we were doing, which is basically in like an, it was kind of in an open room with like wood panel walls and like, you know, like stuff like that. There was no like
all the stuff that you want, all the stuff that you want for recording.
Yeah, exactly. It just made it really perfect and great sounding. No, it was very simple. And I remember there was even people like sometimes playing like video games on the side, like just while we're like recording and stuff. And it was just kind of a weird, like, yeah, sure, I guess we're doing this sort of thing, you know? And that was kind of it. I don't remember exactly like the specs or what we were using, but I feel like it was just like, yeah, a laptop and then like cords that, you know, plugged in and could record probably on like, I don't know, whatever the basic recording software is, maybe GarageBand or something like that, you know, something like that. So,
okay. Yeah. Did you guys record this to print CDs with it, or was this just to put online?
I was always like, I want to like sell the music, you know, I want people to have it. Yeah. Like I'm all about the physical media, you know? So I always wanted to do something like that. Truth be told, just like with anything else that kind of led to our band's, breaking up, was, I don't know, it just kind of felt like I was always pushing for more, and then Sam just kind of was busy, you know? So, I don't know. I think that's why ultimately we just went with three songs. I kind of was just sick of waiting around sort of thing, and I just was like, well, I want something
out.
Yeah, so that people can, like, because people would come up to us in shows and be like, you know, where can I find your stuff? And it's like, I guess Facebook, but we don't have any music. So, you know, good luck. So, you know, you know what I think it was? Let me actually look this up. I have a feeling the reason we didn't get to Keep Dreaming was because, this was actually when we changed all of our information from what we used to be called, which was Encryption, to then Fight for the Weekend. So I think I just kind of wanted that like out there, you know. I can't know for sure, because I think the only living videos of our live stuff was on like my dad's YouTube channel, because he would just like come to shows and live record us. I was going to check the day that we changed our name from Encryption to Fight for the Weekend. But I honestly, I feel like now looking back, I mean, this was like 5 years ago now. I think it was because we were like changing our name. And so I was just like, well, let's just get it out there. You know, it was either something like that or just like a loss of time. And we just never ended up doing more. But yeah, I just wanted like something out there for people. So I don't know. I guess we just kind of went with it.
Makes sense. I like
it. Yeah. I always wanted like CDs and stuff like that, but just having it online and if people want to pay for it, they can, but like having it for $0, like whatever, you know, eventually I was like, maybe when we do our first actual CD, then we can do like physical releases and stuff like that. Well, that didn't work, but anyways.
Can we go into the songs a little bit? Cause I just want to tell you something about Jump.
Yeah. Jump first track.
So I haven't listened to these. Well, I haven't listened to this one in quite a long time. This specific EP, if you want to call it that, whatever you want to label it as. And I forgot how much I fucking love this song.
Yeah.
It's so good. And I just immediately got really happy and it reminded me of you guys playing shows. But it's such a well-written, just like Reliant K pop punk song.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's... Yeah, Sam knows how to, like, write that kind of catchy sort of... And honestly, like, good writing, too. Like, just, I... Maybe not lyrically, but, like, just song structure-wise. Like, I actually think that he does really well with that. And he can, like, come up with stuff pretty much on the fly, where he's literally, like... Oh, okay, well, maybe we go into, like, a bridge here, and maybe it sounds like this. Or, like, he'll be like, I have, like, three or four different things that I've been messing with. Maybe let's try adding it in here, see if it fits the song, you know? And so,
yeah.
With all that being said, I mean, it just is, yeah, it's always a fun song to play. It was always in our set, like, right towards the beginning, because it's just very... It gets people loosey-goosey, and if people don't get up and, like, jump for this song, well, then we kind of know they probably won't do anything else for the rest of the set. Like, they'll just stand around doing nothing, so you don't necessarily have to go crazy, but at least that was always my gauge.
This one always was really good at shows because it has a call and response, essentially. Like, Sam's yelling jump, and everybody's supposed to do it. But also, you guys had, like, a little bit that you did, because as soon as that little chorus... Is that the chorus? That's the chorus, right?
Yeah.
Kind of?
Yeah.
After chorus? Whatever. I don't know names of parts. But that part was always cool, because you guys had a bit, so as soon as that little jump part came on, everybody except for you on stage was doing it, too. Yeah. And I always thought that was fucking really cool to see. That's something that I admire... for people's writing is to be able to write a song that has built-in involvement in it.
Yeah.
I think that's partially why I like this. Plus, there's a line in it where he talks about the weekend. Like, I think he says, like, the weekend's never quite enough.
Right.
Something like that. And that's a fun little, I guess, parallel or comparison with the name. So this song is just screams Fight for the Weekend. But yeah, dude, this song's fucking awesome. And I miss watching you guys play it.
I think... Going back to these songs after, you know, a year and a half or so of not even really listening or thinking about these tracks, it made me super miss live shows, like playing specifically. And honestly, just playing these songs specifically, you know, just to be able to, like, I don't know, get sweaty and smelly. And just, like, take a couple of rips off some Jameson, you know, with you inevitably being there. And then having a backpack full of McGolden on stage. I mean, there's just nothing better than that, you know, and playing these songs. But, yeah, to make up for me not being able to jump, because obviously I'm playing drums. Like, I would always do stick twirls in this part. Because it's just a very basic, it's like the after chorus thing. But it's just...
Yeah, you say basic, but it is not easy, and it definitely looks really cool.
Yeah, well, it's like, this is the flashy part, you know? It's like, you know, we all jump, and I flip my sticks, and that's the way it goes, you know? So...
As far as writing goes on this,
yeah.
Did you partake in any of the writing, or was it just
no
drums and out?
No, just drums. And in fact, I think they even had, because Hunter used to be the drummer, and then I kind of came in and I was just kind of like there for a while. These songs were already established, except for I'm Home. That was like a new one, and that one Hunter wrote himself, as far as lyrics go and like the melody and the song structure and stuff. But no, I didn't really write anything other than just drums. And like I said, Hunter used to be the drummer, so there was kind of like some basics for what he already would do in some of these songs. Actually, I think the only one that he wrote on was In a Flash for drums, now that I think about it. But like, yeah, I don't know. Like, most of the stuff is pretty basic, right? It's just pop punk stuff. So it's like you have so much like the DNA to writing a pop punk song and like making a pop punk song has just already been laid down time and time again. So it's just like picking your favorite parts from Blink-182 and MXPX and Reliant K and then just laying them down yourself, you know? That's all. That's really all it is, you know? So,
you know what though, on that subject, you know what I noticed listening to this, cuz I don't think I've listened to either of these little projects since we started the podcast.
Yeah.
I don't think. And after doing this podcast with you and you giving me all the bands that you like, it's kind of interesting to listen to the drumming again and notice like the hardcore influence,
yeah,
blended in with this like Christian pop punk sound that y'all had going on some of the songs. Right. Jump is one of those. And I thought that was really cool to see, because you definitely have, I don't want to say, well, you have like a different style a little bit than everybody in the band, and not in a bad way, in a great way, because it's not just another pop punk song because of the, really, the crazy fucking fills that you do.
Sure.
It's the part that I'm talking about. Or like the double pedals.
Right. Yeah. There's a little bit of double pedal on this. Not much. But yeah, that's actually, I think we'll save I'm Home because it's on this one and it's also on the next one. I think we'll save that one for last because I think that one has the most to be talked about. But like, yeah that one, there's a bit in it that. Yeah, it was when we like made it up, like I was ecstatic because of like what we do with it. But anyways, yeah, I mean, that's Jump. It is a fun song. I was listening back and I was like, God, like this song is so, it kind of fucking rips. And I hate saying that stuff, but like, I literally, like I said to myself this earlier today, I was like, you know what? I'm really down on myself all the time, but like these songs kind of fucking rule. So,
dude, they do. And Jump is one of those songs where, like, if you guys ever play again or in the past when you played, like, that song has to be in the set.
Yeah.
Every set. It has to be.
Right.
It's just too big of a banger to not be included.
Right.
It's so good. In a Flash, I haven't, again, I haven't listened to this in a while.
I was going to say, you probably haven't heard this song, like...
I've heard it because I've listened to this on Bandcamp before.
Sure.
But I forgot about it because you guys don't play this,
no,
right? I've never seen you play it. And this is not a Fight for the Weekend song.
Right, it's kind of...
Right?
It's, it's a little bit, like... It's a little bit heavy and kind of, like, dark... You know, and like, it's very much like, cause like Josh alluded to, I mean, all of us came from church. So it kind of started off as being like a, maybe we're a Christian band, but like that shit is fucking stupid. So like, Yeah, fuck the church. But like, stop trying to get me to watch the Christian television, Mom. Okay. like, yeah, we all came from the church, and like this song is very much like that fucking, if you've ever been to like a church where it's like, it's, they're trying to be really emotional. It's like this person is like, you know, they don't have Jesus, and so they're going to die, and like they're in a bad spot or whatever. And, but then there's kind of like this, this hope to the track too. Like, you know, if you, the lyrics are kind of like, if you've ever felt the pain of losing control, you know, put your fist in the sky as the broken unite, something to that effect. Like, basically just showing that we're all like hurt people. We've all been through stuff, and like, let's stand together sort of thing. But the like verse is about this person like being like hurt to the point of like wanting to off themselves. And it's like, and it's like, man, but I think like this song used to kind of just stay dark the entire time. But that whole last spot, that's a bit on the song that's like the more major key sounding chords and stuff. And it's like, and it's like the whole breakdown sort of part where it's just the guitar and there's some like light tom and snare work. And it just builds and builds and builds until it gets to the woes, you know?
Yeah.
That part, I don't think it wasn't in there for like a while. I think it always used to be kind of a darker tone, or at least we refined that bit quite a lot, to the point where you hear it.
I like that you guys added that, because it gives it like a like a going through a tunnel vibe in the dark part, and then you hit the end once the toms like build up and it goes into the whoa-ohs, and I like that. And it kind of reminds me of, I got like a real brand new like Devil and God vibe from this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit more major on the chord scale than Brand New, but like the tom builds and all that shit, it just reminded me so much of the Devil and God. I thought this song was really, really cool, and I would have liked to have seen you guys play it.
Yeah, it used to be a regular in our set because we only had like 4 or 5 songs or whatever. But once we kind of like got in our lane and we were like, let's kind of stick to like maybe pop punk with occasional heavier stuff. I don't know. This song kind of went away. It's also pretty long, you know, like I don't know. I think actually one of our friends who always came to our shows, shout out to Jesse. He always liked this song. I think this song, he was like, I love that song. And sorry, Jesse, if you didn't say that, but I think he was like, you guys, it was like one of our songs that we cut, and I'm pretty sure it was this song, like from our set list. And he's like, oh man, you guys don't play In a Flash. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. It just like, there's, for some reason, it just doesn't vibe with the set. I don't know. It just kind of like brings the mood down. It's a little too like low and slow for the most part. But then I love the build at the end, you know, with the woes and stuff. So it was kind of like a, should we keep it? Should we not? But we recorded it because it was all we had at the time, you know? So.
Can I tell you a story? Something I just remembered.
Yep.
So when we started playing shows together, I think our first show was at the 218 Tap House. Am I right on that?
Yeah. And then a week later we did like a bigger like show. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And it got, the reason why we had you guys is because I was in the Tap House. I think I just stopped up to say hi to our mutual friend Carly at the time. She was running the bar, and she asked if I had an opener in mind. And I was like, no, you're the manager. You find one. That's not my job. And she was like, well, there's this band Fight for the Weekend that would probably be down to play. And she mentioned Nate Christian. And of course I was like, yeah, absolutely. Sounds like fun. I didn't know you guys were a Christian band until after that show. And then I had like a panic attack moment with Ryan, and I was like, should we have asked them to play? Because we're like the opposite. That we were in the basement smoking weed, and then we went up and talked about. I mean, we said all the fuck words and the dick jokes. I didn't know that you guys were a Christian rock band, and I got nervous that you were going to be like, not you specifically, but like the band would be mad that they played that show. Because normally when we play shows, not at the Tap House, but normally when we play shows, people are doing all kinds of things and getting really drunk and like throwing up outside and just being scuzzy, if that's a word.
But that's a, I mean, that's a, I like, if I was even a smidge as like religious as I was like during the beginning and during that time, like, I, at the time, even though I was like Christian or whatever, or I guess I called myself a Christian, like I just was like, what difference does it make, like, if you play in like a bar versus like a church or like something? Like, not that there's any scene for that type of diversity or options as it is. Like, you only have the bars to play. So it doesn't matter if you're like this Christian band, like, and you're trying to like get, like, do this, I don't know, music or around this area. Like, you have bars and that's it. That's your only option. Right. Mm-hmm. And which to me, in my mind, like, if you are a Christian band, like, why wouldn't you want to be playing in those places? 'Cause like, isn't your whole goal to like, help
spread
people.
The message.
Yeah. So like, I don't know. There's a weird, like, that's the hypocrisy that I saw, which is why I left the church. Anyways. So, 'cause people just like look down on people and then they say like, oh, God is love and we're all loving people. But then we just hate everybody. So, anyways, that's a tangent for another day.
Yeah. That's a tangent for another podcast.
Right, yeah, probably. Christianity is very hypocritical. Anyways, so, yeah, I don't know. We just kind of, I didn't mind it because I ultimately always wanted my goal to just be play music in front of as many people as I can play to, because that's what I love doing. That's what I'm passionate about. And that's like, you know, it's fun to me. There's nothing like that show rush. You know, so like,
mm-mm, nothing.
Yeah, but yeah. So I mean, that's one of the demos, and like I said, it has "I'm Home" on it, but we can save that for the end because it's on the other one. So the other one starts off with an intro, which I don't know. Again, it was one of those things where like, I think I was like, it's been like years since we put anything out. Like, we need more music online. Because at that point, we had pretty much all of our songs except for, like, maybe California and... honestly, that's probably it. Like, we had all the songs that we would ever play, like, in our minds. And, like, that's what we did every time we played a show. You know, 45 mm-hmm. minutes or whatever. 45 to an hour of, like... our stuff. So we had three songs. One of them we didn't even play anymore, you know, recorded down on a demo. So I was like, let's fucking do something, you know?
Yeah. And you know, this is the same intro you guys used in your live shows too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind
of
where
at least for most of them.
Yeah. That's where we made that intro because Hunter went away for like a little while. Like, he lived somewhere else. So it was just a three piece and like, we couldn't play certain songs like without him and stuff. And so we made this intro to like fill out like another like minute and a half of time. I don't know, just like another little bit. So,
well, and you know, this intro I think is really cool. And I always liked when you guys did this at shows, and I don't think I've told you this, but I like it and it's perfect because it shows every aspect of the band, like just in a nutshell. Like, you get the positive, like, pop punk vibe. You have Nate's drumming, which you do this a lot, I've noticed, where you'll play, but when you'll switch the downbeats. So like, you'll play and then you'll play it a little bit different, and you like hit on the and instead of the one or something. It's really cool.
Sure.
You do that a little bit in the beginning of this. I'm not good with drum sounds or anything. But then the song has like a hardcore breakdown with a China symbol and all.
Yeah.
But then it ends on a major chord,
right,
which is, that's your guys' set. Is like, it's going to be positive. It's going to be pop punky. There's going to be some yelling parts and some breakdowns, but then it's going to get positive again. And it's the perfect intro to not only the EP, but also a show. I fucking love it.
Yeah, that's kind of the whole thing. Like, I think I had just been messing with the drum beat that it opens up on. Like, it's, you know, I probably had inspiration from Motion City Soundtrack, you know, the Favorite Accident, probably. Like, it starts off with the piano, but then it's, like, the drums. Like, yep. And the drums are kind of like, like, and this is kind of like almost that, but like the parts are switched. Like, it's like, like, and I don't know. I just had been listening to a lot of like that kind of, I guess, alternative rock, like pop punky sort of weird style music at the time. And I was just like, I like this drum beat. Can we do anything? I really like it when like hardcore bands put this like space in the music, but there's still noise, which is they literally just hit all their guitar strings and they're in like drop D or something. So it makes this like almost chord, but it's like weird and it's just kind of noisy and it just sounds like, just this weird combination of sounds. But I love that paired with like drums, like going crazy. So I think I was just like, try just hitting your guitar strings after I do this like twice through or something, you know? And then we just kind of made some riffs and did that little breakdown bit. And there's some double kick on that part at the end there. So that's, yeah, this is the intro. And intros are, you know, clearly fillers and stuff like that, but like it's fun. I like this intro a lot too, and it was always fun playing, you know.
Yeah, it's always a good sound check too, because you get the vibe of how loud you can be and what needs to be turned up or down. And
exactly, yeah, exactly. It was kind of the perfect like starter, because you know, whenever you get the, you know, go ahead from the sound guy, it's just like, it starts off with just loud ass drums, dude. And then, you know, Sam can be like, all right, everybody fucking get in the bar. You know, you don't need to be smoking outside. grab a drink and get close. But yeah, I think it works well and it was a lot of fun to play live. So,
dude, Meant for Me.
Yeah.
This is another. Sam is so good at songwriting.
Yeah.
Like structures of songs. So good. This is another one that this is one of my favorites when you guys play it. It's so perfectly written. Like it has everything. It has everything in it. It's such a good jam of a song.
Yeah. Yeah. I this is one of my favorites to play. And I think it's probably my favorite recorded song. I guess the I'm Home is like really good, but like I think what it is the bass tone on it is like so fat, you know, and PHAT for those not Limp Bizkit affiliated, it means cool. It's just so like, yeah, it's just fat and it's beefy and like everything kind of sounds good, everything's mixed well. I don't know.
was this a multi-mic recording for the drums on this one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
I noticed a little more clarity in like toms and whatnot. Not that the other one was bad, but you could definitely tell the quality difference betwixt the two, which is a word.
Right. Yes. I think each tom had a mic, and then I think the snare was mic'd, and we had two overheads maybe, and then obviously the kick was mic'd. I don't know if there was any other mics beyond that. There might have been one like right above the hi-hat or something, but yeah. Again, it was just like this ass ton of mics that, like, where did they even come from, you know? And, like, how did, like, a 23-year-old just, like, have this stuff, you know? But whatever.
As far as recording goes, where did you record this one?
This one was... I think we did this in an actual, like, recorded room, I want to say. But, like, a homemade one. Like, it was just, like, a door... yeah, it's just like a door that had foam and there was foam in there and, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know.
Did Sam do all the mixing on this one too?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Oh, he's pretty good. He's pretty good at it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not bad.
I love songs that have woes.
Yeah.
And whoa, there's like, he puts a lot of that in these songs too. And I fucking love that.
Awesome.
It's so sing-songy.
Oh, yeah. We do the whoa. Yeah, that. And it's like a, you're going in your regular speed, but then you turn it into a halftime, you know, sort of thing. And then,
yeah.
And
that's another fun little sing-songy part.
Yeah, because it has the woes, yeah, and all that stuff, so.
Yep. Everybody knows the words when you do shit like that.
Right.
It's like if a band has a song where you yell, hey.
Right, exactly.
Always,
which we had a song that you yelled, "Hey!"
Yep,
so
you sure did.
Anyways, I mean that's about it. I think we can move on to the problem.
Yeah, dude, and so this is the part that I loved about Fight for the Weekend is it goes from this Meant for Me is like this again this super happy pop punky kind of jam. And then the problem is just a fucking, like a hardcore banger.
Yeah.
I don't know if hardcore is the right way to describe it, but your drumming definitely is.
Yeah, my drumming is, it gets a little bit more intense on this song. The opening riff is just like this, it almost is like a southern rock sort of like sounding style.
Yeah.
And then it just comes in with, you know, everybody playing as loud as we can for like, you know, a couple measures, and then and then we kind of crash out. It's almost like a fake intro sort of thing. And then I love, like, it was always fun doing it live because I always stick clicked in after that initial thing, and then it's like 1, 2, 3, 4 in, and like getting that captured on the mic was just kind of like, I think, a fun additive that made it seem like it was like in a more live setting, you know, with that little stick click in. So
yeah,
I always like that, but
yeah, I dig that too. And it's perfect too, because it goes into, what is it? Double time after that. My drum verbiage is correct. And, I dig that. It kind of reminds me of, like, just that bit where you're doing double time on the drums reminds me of, what's that band that I hate? Rise Against. I don't hate Rise Against.
Could be anything, honestly.
No, but yeah, that part always reminds me when I listen to it of Rise Against, especially when you guys play it live, is dope. And then it breaks into that chorus, but before you get to it, Sam like starts yelling like really loud and like just ripping up his throat. This song's fucking cool, man.
Yeah.
And his screaming voice is fucking fantastic on this.
Yeah.
So good.
I
remember this live too, and I remember watching him. I was kind of always captivated because he's super talented.
Yeah.
And between this song specifically, between your drum fills, which I, as a drummer, I don't fucking understand how you do it. I just don't get it. They're so good. And then the loudness and like the grit behind Sam's vocals on this, this song is fucking awesome. And I guess I never really noticed that it's kind of a southern rock riff.
Right. It's just because of like the bending, like of the, like the bendy riff, you know, that bang-a-bang-a-bang-a. Like if you throw that on like a honky tonk guitar and put like, I don't know, insert top country artist name here, you know, they could probably rip this song up. It wouldn't be as fast or as crazy when it kicks in, but they could rip this up, you know? So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, this song has, like, has a lot of, it's really fast. And doing stuff on time and fast when you're recording, when I don't think we were quantizing anything, I don't think we did anything like that. It just was what it was. We had, like, demo guitar tracks in my ears while I was recording, and then everything was built around the drums, because that's kind of how you do it, right? So,
okay. Yeah.
So it's like, because ultimately, if the drums sound off from anything, like, it's going to be weird. So, like, you play to the drums with the click track as best you can, and it's, and you'll be good, and it kind of works out that way, but...
Did you do multiple takes and comp your drum parts, or were these all one time through?
So usually what it was is I would do the full song playthrough.
Really?
And then we would listen through with the click going at the same time and see if there was anything that was like too off for me to like go back in and do.
You had to redo a part, though, did you redo the whole thing, or did you punch in just the spot that you needed?
If I did have to do that, we would kind of punch in, at a spot by it. But this one in particular was a little bit different because there is a time change in the song, which we didn't have the ability to do, to like program in for some reason, multiple time changes. Also, it's kind of like an unnatural sort of slowdown to get to the time change. It's like, you know, and it's like doing that with a click track. I can't really imagine how that would go, you know? So essentially what I did for that was just like, I did what I would do live, and then we kind of hit record on another line that had another tempo for some, and then basically I would crash into that tempo right at that point. So that's kind of what we did for that.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Also really difficult. Jesus.
Yeah. I didn't understand how to record or do anything like that. I just came there with my drumsticks and then played. So
were you around for like the recording of the guitar and vocals and bass and all that?
A little bit, yeah. Sam, honestly, between everyone, I would say I did my drum parts, Hunter would do his parts, and then Sam literally did everything else. Daniel didn't play his bass parts. Sam did.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh no, I think you've told me that before. I think I knew that.
Yeah. Essentially, like, I mean, I've heard of that being done because a band that we played with called Earth Groans, they're on Solid State Records now. They are really good and you should go check them out, but the singer is like a owner of a studio or something like that. And they even state on their, he even states on his website or whatever for his studio that if the like bass player doesn't like bass or guitar or whatever, vice versa, like whoever is not necessarily mashing up well, like the guitar players and the bass players should know each other's parts in case they have to play them, and so that the sounds match up better. I don't know what that means, but basically we did that. Sam just played the bass. I don't know if it was like Daniel couldn't or what, but Sam played bass. So
like he's basically saying like, yeah, if your drummer sucks, somebody else that's better should come with too.
Yeah.
Right. Fucking rude.
Right. But I mean, it's kind of like I mean, I get it though. You know, it's like your name's on the label and stuff like that as a producer. I get it kind of, but anyways, so yeah, that's the problem. I really like the double bass part in this before the chorus and the time change obviously and the riff, and then the end of the song where we kind of just like play that riff over and over again, but we're switching up the beat styles and stuff like that.
Yeah, you guys put like a false ending in it after that little Tom bridge.
Yeah.
After the time signature. I love that because it's like a reprise of what we were already familiar with. I thought that was cool. It also ends on a really gross, ugly chord. And I thought that was really fun too.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of, it's not where it should resolve. It's on this like almost like a question mark sounding note, you know? Mm-hmm. And this is where I put the drum solo in our live shows. So, yeah. So it led nicely into that.
You ready for I'm Home? I'm sure you have a lot about this song.
Yeah, I am ready for I Am Home. It's written by Hunter, by the way. Pretty sure it's about his ex-girlfriend. He's now married, so like I guess it doesn't matter, but it's just really funny, like when because when they broke up, like it's one of our best songs, so it's like, well, we can't get it out of the set, like it's gonna still be in there. So yeah, I think this song is probably our best structured song, like just period. So
yeah,
anyways,
it's definitely the most intricate, like the little I don't know if you want me to give you a timestamp so you know what I'm talking about right now.
Yeah.
So it's like pretty much at like the 4:02 mark. Like you come out of this big drum like snare fill, and then it's going into this like I think it's just double kick and like this kind of Avenged Sevenfold maybe style riff. I don't really know what band I'm thinking of, but you do like this little breakdown, and your kicks are hitting like parallel with the guitar, if that makes sense.
Oh, at the what
listen
mark?
Like, At just listen from 4 minutes and you'll hear what I'm talking about. I don't know the technical term for what you do here.
Oh.
Yeah, it's at 4:05. There's this little riff that goes, na 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 na, but then you follow that with your I'm assuming your double pedal.
Yeah.
It's fucking so cool, man. But like those little intricacies, that's throughout this entire song. Like, I don't understand how you guys even remember all the parts of this fucking thing.
Yeah, it's I honestly, dude, and this will be the third time I've said it, but I've only praised myself ever now. This will be the third time on this podcast ever. So this song is pretty good, man. Like
it is, dude. It's really good. This is, I mean, you have a lot of parts on, like a lot of really cool drum parts on this album, but it'll be like a fill. And then it's, you know, just like a 4-4 drum beat.
Yeah.
I'm really good. Nothing wrong with that. That's all I do is 4-4. But this one, it seems like it sounds like you really sat down and like every kick drum note, every snare drum, every hit is there for like an exact reason is what it seems like anyway. I don't know how scientist you went on this, but it seems like you probably spent hours writing this part and it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I'm proud of the work we did on this song. I mean, I just from the intro riff, like, I don't know, man. Sam and Hunter, I mean, I think are great musicians. I think, and I'm so glad that I had the privilege of playing with them, you know, but I think Sam wrote the riff. I think Hunter had the whole song and structure. And originally it was probably acoustic or something, you know, he was trying to impress his girl or whatever. But, I don't know. That riff is kind of funky, you know?
It is, yeah. Like, I want to reference something for it, but I honestly can't think of anything.
Yeah, it's just kind of, it's got, like, a pretty unique, like, little time signature-y stuff to it. And so... Anyways, I think I just like the build. I like the way that it goes right into the verse with the snare roll sort of thing that I'm doing. Look, I got to be honest, that is the hardest thing to do, is keep consistent snare rolls with the accent on it, like on time. That's hot. That's kind of tough, dude.
No, it's not easy.
Yeah, because you're trying to keep your stick heights uniform, and then like you're hitting accents, you know, here and there. So it's definitely an interesting experience recording versus just playing in a live setting. So But yeah, there's the snare roll, the way it comes back into the verse, and it kind of almost gives like a sneak preview of like the chorus in the beginning, and then it comes right back into the verse with like the full band in. And then there's a lyric in it where I think it goes, when Sam says, "Hey, it meant I love you." That's the lyric that he was trying to do. But for some reason in a live setting, it always sounded like, "Hey, bitch, I love you." That's my wife would always say that, like when she's just on the sidelines, and she you know, relayed that lyrical misheard lyrics to all the other people that would come to the show. But hey,
I love that. I'm never gonna not hear that.
Yeah, it doesn't really sound like that in the recording, like
not
that
in the
much,
recording, no.
But like in a live setting, it did sound like, "Hey, bitch, I love you." So that's a little fun trivia. There's a tiny bit of a little drum solo ish thing in here. Not really, but just like a drum break, I guess you'd call it. And then it kind of breaks down and builds up into like this, into a guitar solo. There's a guitar solo on this, and then it crashes out into like maybe one of the funnest things to do live, which is the double pedal bit.
And it sounds, the ending, like if you've listened to this album by now and you haven't seen Fight for the Weekend live in the past, like this is an ending song to not only an album but a set. It's just perfect. And you guys left in like the pretty much the same ending that you do live too, but it's fucking perfect. This song is perfect.
Yeah.
You know?
Man, writing that drum and guitar like chugga bit like at the end with the double kicks and stuff, that was a lot of fun, because I think at the time we were listening to a lot of Belmont, like I was anyways personally, probably their that EP that we listened to way back when.
Great album.
It is. It's still like heavy rotation for me. They do a lot of that kind of like happy sounding pop punk music, but then they'll do like these crazy breakdowns with like double kick. And it's like, I loved that. And so I was like, let's do that, you know?
Yeah. You know, I guess I didn't put that together, but Belmont would be a close comparison for you guys. If you were to pick a band and say they kind of sound like.
Sure.
That would be a pretty similar one. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, dude, some of the stuff that Belmont does is so good. I love that band. But it's this double pedal bit. And then for anybody who's like a drummer, it's kind of this cool little switch up, because it starts on just like a kind of a head banging sort of hitting on the 1, 2, 3, and 4. But then I hit it on the and, like the China or whatever. And then I hit it on every single note, and then it crashes out, sort of thing. It's that part I'm very proud of. So, but yeah, anyways. And Sam does like a total 1980s, like scream. Yeah, at the end.
Casey's downstairs like, what the fuck?
Right, exactly. But, that's it, man. That's all that we ever recorded. We probably had, like, literally 8 more songs that could have been recorded that we never
got to. Wanted to ask you, like, why these ones? Did you guys have a process to pick out songs?
Again, it was, we probably had, like, 6, like, maybe 6 or so, even including the intro, that we were planning on recording, and or at least maybe I wanted to, I don't know. But then again, it got to the point where it's like, okay, it's been like 3 months and like we're just sitting on these 4 songs that are done and we're not moving on anything else. And I think I even had I have drum parts written, recorded on Sam's like laptop or something for California. I think I probably have drums recorded for the last song that we did, Shake the Ground, that we usually ended our set on that one, or I'm Home. I probably have another drum track out there for, I don't know, Friend Zone, I think. There's probably some drum stuff out there recorded, and all that's waiting is like guitars and drums. So, or guitars and drums, guitars and bass, Jesus Christ. So again, it was one of those things where it's like, I personally would have just went and just wanted to put out more, but like, I don't know if it was just no time or what. And I just got antsy and I was like, all right, fuck it. Well, I'm putting this out.
Do you have a favorite from this collection?
I think I'm Home is probably one of the best things that I've been a part of writing. So that, I mean, is probably my favorite, but I mean, I like the sound of Meant for Me recorded, and I mean The Problem is pretty dope as well. So I don't know. Again, this is the only time I'll ever praise anything about myself. So just let me indulge a bit, you know.
I wish you'd do it more.
Yeah. Well. Too bad.
Did you say ah?
I said yeah. Well, too bad.
Oh, I thought you went ah.
Oh, maybe I did. I don't know. But anyways, yeah, I mean, I Am Home. Yeah. If I had to pick though, I Am Home. It's just, I think it's a really well-structured song and I'm proud of the drums on it. And,
Man. It's good. You know, I mean, I feel like I've said this enough in the podcast, but I'm going to say it again. I thoroughly enjoyed listening to these again. It made me super miss not only just like live music in general, but specifically seeing and playing with you guys. It was an emotional roller coaster to know that, you know, we might not be able to do that with our bands together again. That makes me sad because these songs, they fucking rip, dude.
Yeah, but I mean, again, and I'll bring this story up. I think this is probably the fourth time I've told this story, but if you listen to these songs and then picture yourself coming up to me after listening to these songs at a live show and then saying, hey, do you guys play any Dave Matthews?
I thought me, that when I listened to this.
And me saying, no, why do you ask? And then the person saying, well, I just like Dave Matthews, so I think you should play Dave Matthews. Now, just listen to these songs.
They didn't want to compliment you.
No.
They were just telling you a fact. Like, hey, just so you know, I like Dave Matthews. And that's it.
Yeah, dude.
Hey, so dude, fucking yeah, rude.
Just, you know what, dude? Just come up to me and say, hey, dude, I like Dave Matthews. Not that I couldn't already tell that you like Dave Matthews, but just, you know, just... You didn't have to put it that way, dude. Like, just, I don't know.
I would like to drop a little note for y'all listening to. There are some live videos of Fight for the Weekend on the YouTube as well. If you just type in Fight for the Weekend, you'll be able to find them. One specifically, Nate, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's you guys performing at the Elks Lodge, which was a show with us when we had come back from tour, and it was in our hometown of Hibbing. Pretty damn good live sound. I think you guys know Lambo by now. He recorded it recorded the audio and the video, and he mashed them together and put them on the internet, and mm-hmm. It's fucking good. So if you guys didn't get a chance to see Fight for the Weekend, there's some good videos on YouTube that I overindulged in today. And I listened to, I forget the song names from the Elks Lodge show because I'm terrible with song names, but I did listen to it on repeat for a solid 20 minutes.
Whoa, okay. Well,
it's good.
Hey, man. Thanks. You know? Yeah, there is a couple live videos of us. And I thought my dad took down his YouTube channel, but he didn't. And I found the videos.
Nice.
Yeah, if you just type Fight for the Weekend Band, you'll probably find it. I think there's there's like a, there's a couple videos you'll see.
You used to have one, you used to have one up on there at one point, if you remember this. It was at, you guys were playing, I want to say it was like an Iron Range Homegrown or some shit in Virginia, Minnesota. And you had a camera set up behind you on the drums.
Yep.
So that way you got the, you got to see what you guys see during the video. Is that one still on YouTube?
That one's just on Facebook.
Facebook? Yeah. Okay. Well, that was really fucking cool, though. I like to see things from stage view.
Yeah, that's the one where the guy got up on stage. We had
on
like
the stage,
this, we had this like interlude track. Again, it was because Hunter was gone and we needed like some time to fill. This guy just like got on stage during that interlude and was just wasted, and then just flicks off Daniel and then like high fives him. And then he jumps off stage. So
yeah, that's Iron Range drunk for you.
Oh yeah, he had about, you know, 20 McGolden lights, you know, and he was flying. Maybe a couple of Jaeger bombs, and some like what else is really like trashy? some fireball shots. Some fire.
I was going to say bulldogs. People like to drink bulldogs.
Yeah, they just all the milk and the
curdle.
Fucking, yeah, I was just, exactly. Just curdled milk shits in your stomach.
Yeah, you're just asking to barf later.
Yeah. Anyways, so
little side tangent. That's it. I love it. We've covered it all.
That's it. Yeah.
You guys know,
this is the end of the podcast.
You guys know everything about us now.
This is the end of the podcast. This is the last episode.
We're done.
All right. Okay, thanks. Bye.